I remember a couple of times during my childhood when I decided I couldn't take it anymore and I was running away from home. And it may have happened more than a couple of times, actually. Always in response to some terrible parental injustice. I mean, I lived under tyrannical, iron-fisted rule, y'all. For example, can you believe that my mom made me eat broccoli? It was terrible. And that's not all. She imposed other unreasonable rules on me, too, like limits on the number of Oreos I could consume at one time. It was total dictatorship. And you can only endure those kinds of conditions for so long before you have no choice but to run away. Anybody else out here run away when you were growing up? No, just me? All right. So one of the times I'm talking about, I don't really remember the event that triggered my anger, but I do remember announcing to my mom, "That's it. I'm running away." And with almost unfeeling detachment, my mother, the woman who gave birth to me, responded, "Okay, you want me to help you pack your stuff?" Do you know how disarming that is when you're 8 years old and your mom says something like that to you? It's like she didn't care. Completely messed me up, threw me off my game, and it also made me rethink my strategy. So the next time the circumstances required that I run away, I didn't say anything. I just put a couple of toys in my G.I. Joe backpack and I stormed out. Problem is, I didn't make it very far before I realized that I'd been so consumed with running away that I hadn't really considered where I was running to. I was just interested in getting away, but I didn't know exactly where I was going to. But thankfully, I grew up on 22 acres and I had a little while I could just roam around, walk and figure it out. And finally, I came up with a plan. I would just hunker down in this lean-to that my friends and I made out in the woods. And out there in the woods, I could be free, I could live by my own rules, and I'd be just fine. And then a little time passed. And as the time passed, it seemed like there were more and more unidentified noises out there in the woods. As I started to imagine all of the animals that could be lurking just out of sight back in the bushes and in the trees, I started to wonder how long it was going to take my mama to come looking for me. I mean, surely she would yell for me soon, right? Well, she didn't. And after a while, I started to get hungry. More time passed. And then finally, all on my own, I decided that whatever injustice I had suffered wasn't that bad after all. And I slinked back home. I was actually glad to be back home. Now, we never talked about it, but I know my mom watched me walk down into those woods. I know she saw me. And I know she knew that I was safe. I was at a safe distance. I wasn't going to get myself into any danger. And looking back on it, I think she knew that eventually the pain of running away would become greater than whatever I was running from. And then she knew I'd be home. And she was right. But what if the one we're running away from is God? What if God is the source of our fleeing? What if God is the one we're trying to escape? Well, that's exactly the case for the person that we're going to be talking about for the next 4 Sundays as we start this series on the book of Jonah. Now, before we dive into the story, let me say that I know for some people the story of Jonah is a lot to swallow. I'm glad you could see what I did there. But especially for engineers and scientists, for analytically minded people, those kind of people find the story of Jonah to be a little fishy. And, you know, it's tough, and I'm sorry, I won't do any more. That'll be the end of that. But But if that's you, and you find this hard to believe, you find this story, here's what you should know. People throughout history have viewed the book of Jonah in a lot of different ways. I mean, some have viewed it as a parable. Some have viewed it as an allegory. Some have viewed it as a satire. And of course, some people have viewed it as an historical account. And, you know, one time somebody asked me, now do you really believe that Jonah was in the belly of a big fish for 3 days and then the fish spit him out on dry land? And here's my answer. You know, the foundation of our faith is that God raised Jesus from the dead. And in light of that, there's not much I think God can't or won't do. But whether or not this happened exactly historically, I don't know, but it doesn't really even matter. Even if you want to view the story as an allegory or a parable or a satire, that's fine because the power of the story and the truth of the story is the same either way. And that's why it's so important, and that's why we're going to spend the next 4 Sundays digging in, diving in to the book of Jonah. And so we're going to do that. We're going to jump right in. And to do that, I want to invite you to help me this morning. And the way I want you to help me is to turn to a couple of people around you and deliver this message. The message is, you can run, but you can't hide. Can you do that for me? Cast lots. And who does the lot fall to except Jonah? Jonah is the culprit. Good old Jonah the runaway. And as soon as the lots show that Jonah is the one, the crew wants to know, what did you do? Who are you? And that's when Jonah said, verse 9, Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Upon hearing that, I'm guessing that the crew thought Jonah was a special kind of thick-headed. This is what they say. Well, this is what verse 10 says. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. They're like, hey, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're trying to run away from God, and you say your God is the one who created the land and the sea. And you're trying to run away from that God by leaving the land and going into the sea? Are you kidding me? Now we're all going to die. And Jonah says, no, you don't have to die. You can stop this storm if you just throw me overboard. That's all it'll take. Just throw me over. I'm good. I'm fine with it. Just throw me overboard. Well, of course they don't want to do it because they don't want Jonah's death on their consciences. So they don't want to do it. And they try to row hard. They try to get into shore, but nothing's happening. And although they don't want to be responsible for Jonah's death, it looks like if they don't toss him overboard, they're all going to die. And so in order to save the ship, they toss Jonah overboard. And as soon as he hits the water, the storm stops. There's perfect calm. There's perfect calm, so the ship is saved. But it looks like Jonah is doomed to drown. But then verse 17. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. It looked like Jonah was going to die out there in the sea. It looked like he was going to drown. But the Lord had arranged a way. He had arranged for his deliverance, and he sent this great fish to swallow Jonah, and there he was for 3 days and 3 nights. One night this past week, my family and I read and discussed this first chapter of Jonah before bed. And when we read the story, I then asked, what did you notice? What do you see in the story? And my kids summarized what happened. They put it into their own words. And then I asked them, well, what lessons do you think we can learn from this story? And one of my children said that God punished Jonah. That God punished Jonah. That stopped me. That got my attention. It stopped me in my tracks. And it led to a great conversation about the difference between punishment and discipline. This is what Proverbs 3:11 says. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when He corrects you, for the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. I don't think the story of Jonah is about God's punishment. I think the story of Jonah is about God's pursuit. I mean, God disciplines, sure, but certainly God pursues. God pursues Jonah not to punish him, but to bring him back where he started. God pursues Jonah to bring him back into his will. God pursues all runaways to bring them back to a place of obedience and right relationship. And God pursues us and goes to great lengths, absurd lengths even, to save us from drowning. So let me ask you a question. Are you running from God? Are you fleeing God's will? Are you running from God's best for your life? Are you mad at God and just trying to get as far away as you possibly can? Can everybody around you except you recognize that you're sailing straight into danger, that you're headed for heartbreak? Can everybody can see it but you? Well, here's what you need to know. You can run, but you can't hide. That's good news, by the way. That's not bad news. That's great news. You can run, but you can't hide from God. God's pursuit is relentless. God's grace is incredible. God will even resort to absurdity. Things like making you fish food to save you from drowning. So please, don't be like Jonah. Turn around. Lean into God's open embrace and come home. And there's where we'll pick up next week. Let's pray together. Lord, we're grateful that Your pursuit is relentless, because sooner or later we're all guilty of running. Thank You that no matter how far we try to run, we can't outrun You. Lord, in our best moments, we know that You only desire what is best for us, that we can trust You completely, that obedience is always better than disobedience. But Lord, still we run. Help us to see what everyone else can see. Open our eyes when we're headed straight for trouble. Wake us from our oblivion. God, forgive us when we think we know better than You. Forgive us when we choose our way instead of Your way. We're so grateful that it is impossible to hide from Your face and Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.